Hello, Sackley family. This is Master Coordinator Pat Hintz, and I'd like to welcome you to our weekly Fast Track Conference call once again. This call has become a common place for everyone in the field that is invited to hear from our top business leaders and some of our new up-and-coming Fast Track business leaders as well. So we're trying to provide you a consistent message about how you and your team can become directors and help other people become directors in Sackley. Also, that you and your team can build to executive coordinator and then be well on your way to that elusive title of presidential master coordinator at some point in time. Our goal here is to help you narrow the gap between the time that you join Sackley as a gold ambassador and the time that it takes for you to become a director, and in a time frame that meets your desired expectations and things. That's why we do this call every single week for you, to help you be able to meet your goals and your dreams that you have established and things like that. So we're excited about that, and we have got an absolutely awesome call again this week. We have none other than a very special guest on the call with me, who is an executive coordinator and very close to the next level as well, Deb Bellarese. Deb, thank you for being on the call. This is going to be a lot of fun. I know people are going to love to hear from you.
Oh, thanks, Pat.
All right. Well, this is very cool. Let's do this. For those of you who don't know Deb, Deb's been around Sackley now for some 29 years, and I got to tell you, I've seen Deb in action. I've known her for a little while now, and I got to tell you that she captures the essence of what a great Sackley leader really is all about. Always positive, always upbeat. Obstacles are always opportunities for Deb. It's just a lot of fun to be around. She's just a bundle of energy. She's genuinely excited about what's happening in Sackley and in her group, and she should be, because things are going well and things are happening. She's always willing to help everybody else, which is a great role model as well, Deb. We appreciate that so much for doing that, because I think really that's what that's what it's all about. We're very much in the people business. That's going to be a little bit of our topic here today. And I think there's, again, no better person to do that with than you. And so I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. We have new people calling into this call every single week and joining us, and we like to say welcome and thanks and everything. But there is a lesson to everybody's story about how they became involved in Sackley and what made them do, the things that they needed to do to become successful, especially in the early days, because we got so many early people listening in. So before we go through our little topic of the day, I'm going to ask you to take a few minutes, Deb, if you would, and just tell everybody how you got started in Sackley and your story a little bit. I think it will really help put some perspective on the things we're going to talk about next.
Oh, thanks, Pat, and I appreciate all that you do in Sackley. I look up to you as just a magnificent leader, and I appreciate all you do for the field. And isn't that what it's about, is helping other people be successful, whether they're in your own business or not? But anyway, let me tell you my story. Actually, there's two parts to my story, one of which is very product, and the other is very business. So let me start with how I was introduced with Sackley.
Yeah.
By the time my son had been a year old, he had been in the hospital 5 times with pneumonia. And I had gone through, by the time he was 7, I had sleepless nights, sometimes up with him 40, 50 times a night. The kid couldn't even sleep. It was awful. And I had done every allergy test, every allergy shot. We had gone to every allergist known to man in the city of Chicago, and really never had any results. And then I was working as a seamstress tailor, so my boss says to me, as we're sitting there doing some handwork, she said, have you ever thought of maybe it was possibly the cleaning products you're using? And I said, well, how could that be? Mm-hmm. And she started telling me a little bit about Sackley. Now, here's the lesson to be learned in this. She told me about the product, and I fell in love with the product. In fact, within months, I had a total significant difference in my son's health. So that was the beginning of it. But she kept telling me, oh, you'd be really good at this. And my perception of Sackley business was, I would drive around in a Honda Civic on my day off, and I would deliver large boxes of basic and cleaners to people's homes. And I didn't have time for that, nor did I have the place to store all this stuff.
Right.
So I was not interested. So fast forward 2 more years, and I'm working with somebody. She's a dress buyer for a very elite store in the Chicago area, and it's in Dallas, and it was, at least, and in Colorado and stuff. It's called Mark Shale. So it was a very elite men's and women's clothing line. Seamstress tailor again.
Mm-hmm.
The dress buyer says, I'm leaving and I'm going to start a Sackley business. And I had like a whole basket of clothes of pinnings to do so I could ask her questions. And being very aware of the product and how good it was, and she gave me a whole different spin on how the business worked.
Huh.
And it was then that she, that was on a Tuesday. On a Thursday afternoon, I called her and said, do you think you could share with me how I could do that business? Because I had been looking into starting my own seamstress place where I was going to have to invest $75,000 buying used equipment, compete with Tony the Tailor down the street. And the bottom line was that I knew is that my hands, no matter what, could only sew so fast. So my income was always going to be limited. Yeah. And the concept of the multi-level marketing made so much sense to me. So she brought her leaders out, which was Lorraine Ulrich at the time. And by the time Lorraine had left, within an hour of Lorraine leaving, she didn't even tell me to do this. I had a list of 200 people I knew that I wanted to tell about the Shackley opportunity and the Shackley products.
Very cool.
Ta-da. That's
very
my
cool
story.
I love it. And then 29 years later, you've had a very, very successful run in Shackley and have helped literally thousands of people live better, healthier lives. You look at the wake that you have left during that time frame, and it's very cool the amount of people that you've positively affected in their life. I mean, that's a really rewarding, look back to a career and something that's got to be very, very satisfying.
Probably one of the most rewarding things when I look back at it is that month after month, year after year for 29 years, I still have income coming in from some of those people. Isn't that fascinating?
That is very fascinating.
And, had I done a hem, that would have been long gone. That would have been in the recycle pile or gone to a Goodwill. And yet, and all I did was a hem, but this, I'm making a difference in people's lives, in their health, in the way they live. You can't ask for anything more.
Very cool stuff. Well, our topic today is keeping Shackley real.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to understand what putting that realness into effect in your first 90 days. So we're going to try to combine a couple of topics here. But really, the ultimate thing I wanted to chat with you about and just sort of go back and forth with is the expectations that are, put out there. And then the reality of what it is that we're doing, especially for the benefit of some of the newer people that are joining us today, involved in something that is a hot topic of the day. They're excited. They get fired up. They see the big picture. And then, the harsh reality of actually working, there's no – it's a job mentality for the most part that people take into our business, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And there's no better day on the job than the interview day. You know what I mean? Because from that point in time, for the most people, it usually goes downhill. When we look at our business, talking about, introducing the new opportunity, the concept to someone that maybe for the first time or whatever, and they start to see the big picture, what are some of the things that you put into that presentation that at least allows them to start, seeing something big, but doesn't overexpand their expectations, I guess, as they start to develop a business with us?
I think the biggest clue I can give is asking questions.
Mm-hmm.
I always find it fascinating. On Friday night, for example, I did a meeting, and there were three different people there. One who was just interested in consuming the product. Another that was interested in using the product for his own business, typically in the cleaning industry.
Right.
And the third was actually there to evaluate a business. And so I had three different people with all different needs, and you have to be so careful because I could say one thing and blow any one of those out of the water. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think it becomes a little bit more creative where you've got to, rather than tell, when you're telling, you're selling, you've got to listen. You've got to ask questions.
Yeah.
What do you want? What would you like? And I think that makes the biggest difference. And letting them know that in the very beginning, I always kind of start and apologize in the beginning and say, if perhaps you don't understand me, I said, because this is just such a great company and a great product line and just such a great opportunity. Don't judge me right away and say, well, I'm not doing this, because I might say something just the wrong way and you don't understand what I'm saying.
Right.
So if you got questions, ask me before you negate this and say I'm not interested, because you know what? In the 29 years I've been in business, I've made well over $1 million. And the chances of me ever having to do that before were next to none. And so don't cut your nose off to spite your face. Give yourself the opportunity, because I find a moral obligation to let you at least know that what's available to you. So anyway, did that answer your question?
Yeah, I think it does. And I think it goes back to that thing we talked about just a minute ago, and that was the need to tell the entire story, because you just never know who's listening for what.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so what happens is that you've got – and the beauty of Shackley is just the breadth of which – you know, it's sort of a double-edged deal, where one of the beauties of Shackley is that we have so much to offer to so many. You can handle all three of those people that were in that room, because Shackley has an answer for all three of them. And, you know, if there was a couple more people there with a couple of different needs, Shackley probably could take care of those too, right?
Oh, yeah. But I think we have to be receptive to that too. And, you know, you also have to know, I always like to use the example of a deck of cards in two different ways.
Okay.
You know, that old song that Kenny Rogers did, you got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away, and know when to run.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you kind of get – so once you're working with these people and you decide, you got to know when to hold them and hang on to them and do what you want to do with them.
Right.
But yep. My other analogy with it, too, when I'm talking to people about getting real, think of a deck of cards. There's 52 in there, and then you got a couple of jokers as well. Well, it's kind of like life.
Right.
And I'll get out a deck of cards and shuffle them out to people. When somebody really has said that they are interested in going forward, I'll say, now, this is the way it's going to be. All your number cards are no's.
Mm-hmm.
And all your kings, queens, and jacks, they're yeses, probably going to become consumers.
Right.
And your aces are going to be your directors, people who become directors, maybe.
Right.
And, you know, you start going through the deck of cards, you turn over a two of hearts, you turn over an eight of diamonds, you turn over a nine of spades, a six of clubs.
Right.
And you got four cards down. Are you going to quit?
No.
Why?
Right, because you know those next ones are in there. You just have to have that mentality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's where it gets real. You've got to understand you're going to get the no's, and that's probably the hardest thing. My upline presidential master is Gary Burke, and I always love his story when he talks about how when he sat down with his list and he had his bottle of Basic H there, and he called Bill, the guy that he hadn't talked to in 10 years, graduated from college, and he called him and said, and of course it was said right on the bottle, it said, Basic H said, not a soap, and how you doing? Have got this opportunity, want to share with you, and Bill says to him, well, what is it? Gary Burke said, I never thought they'd ask me what it is, and I said, well, it's selling soap. After it says it's not soap.
Right.
And Bill goes, you know, Gary, I don't think I'd be interested, and hung up on him.
Yep.
And you know what Gary did? He drew a line through the guy's name and said, and thought to himself, well, he's negative.
It's a classic. It's one of my all-time favorites from one of my all-time favorite people. That's a very cool
story.
But it's
that kind of a story, and until I'm going to mention one of my favorites that you mentioned. It's one of my favorite stories because it makes me realize in his story, it's not about them so much saying no to me. It's my attitude of accepting that no and moving on.
Right.
And the thing that I've gotten from you, and until it actually happens sometimes, you don't really get it. One of the things I've heard you say so many times, Pat, is kiss the ones leaning forward.
As my grandpa used to say, he said, just kiss the girls leaning towards you. You know,
yeah.
That's the idea.
Yeah. And you know, until you really get involved in the business and you get, and let's say you've got quite a few things going on, mm-hmm. and you're chasing, I mean, it gets really exhausting chasing after the ones that are running away from you.
Right, exactly.
Oh, what can I do? What can I say? What can I do? I want them, and you're trying to drag them back, where there's a few there that are leaning forward saying, yoo-hoo.
Yeah.
I'm interested.
Yeah. Listen, it's incredible. If you look at just the stories that you just touched on, we could do, if people want to know, you know, the new people on the call, you want to know the secret about our business, okay? We just gave them to you. Deb just gave them to you in basically, you know, a couple of metaphors. The one about the deck of cards, okay, and making sure that, you know, that you go through all of them because you know that they're out there. It's just if you happen to draw, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 small numbers in a row, don't worry about it because there's aces in the deck. And you just have to be willing to go through each each and every person to do that. You know, it's not really about the person that gives you feedback, as Gary mentioned. It's how you view that feedback. And then it's a willingness, you know, to tell that whole story and to just deal with those people that want to be dealt with, that have a desire to change their circumstance in their life. You know, kiss the girls and got leaning towards you. I mean, that you know, deal with people that want to be dealt with. And if you utilize those things, then what it allows you to do is if you could take those to heart, it allows you to create a realistic spin on what it is that we are doing. Because sometimes we can get so caught up. And I got to tell you, one of the most I've been at this industry for 20 years, at Shackley for the last 5.5 years, and one of the most frustrating things to me still to this day. And I know that, you know, we talked about your past of looking back over the last 29 years. One of the coolest things about Shackley is that, you know, the next 3, 5, 7, and 10 years just looks incredibly dynamic and much more so than anything we've looked at in the past, in my opinion. And so we've got this very unique combination of a storied history but a phenomenal future together. And if you would take those components and put them back together again and realize that what we have here is so unique that really what has to happen is we've got to put that out there on a consistent basis and not get so caught up in this incredible story, incredible excitement, and believe that nothing of negative nature will happen to you. Because I think it's just being unrealistic. And we can apply a very beneficial position that we find ourselves in with yet some realistic expectations of what it is we're going to encounter as we go share with people, you know, this idea and this concept. And I think that's critically important, don't you?
I do. And the other part that I see kind of like going in between some of the words you're saying is making sure that we get a rhythm going.
Okay.
Once you're kind of getting it going and you got people maybe saying no or maybe saying yes or just something happening, it's getting that rhythm. So that here's one of the things that I have observed with myself and, of course, the people I work with. We get a little bit concerned about contacting too many people because we're not going to be able to follow up with them or we're not going to be able to take all the rejection or everything else. And here's what I've sort of learned. The more active I am and the bigger the rhythm is going, when I do get the no's, see, I was going to get back to this point. I knew you were going, where is she going with this? The more no's I get, if I've got a rhythm going, those no's don't affect me so much.
Right.
If I'm only talking to one or two people and they say no, I've got time to go sit in the corner and lick my wounds.
Right.
But if I've got 10, 15 people that I'm setting appointments with, when they say no to me, I'm like, phew, thank goodness I didn't know how I was going to fit them into my schedule.
Exactly. Boy, that's a great mindset, and one that can be dragged through your whole business, that not only just of, you know, contacting those that you know and things like that, but virtually everything in our business. That massive action, I always tell the story, that one of the great lines that I've heard you know, utilized by somebody I forget to give credit for it, so I'll take it myself. I've used it enough now where I can claim it as my own. But doubt will take you out of action, and action will take you out of doubt. So anytime that you have doubt about the success of your business, the direction of your business, the pace of your business, whatever, take some action. And any action actually will allow you to do just that. Your mind will play tricks on you a little bit and will say, man, you know, you just handed that guy a card, you've never met that guy or whatever, but maybe that person, that guy or that gal is going to come in and they don't want to open up a seamstress store or do kind of a, you know, a thing, and they're going to come in because their child had asthma and it's going to work for them, and they're going to, for the next 29 years, create millions of dollars for me. All I have to do is introduce it to them. And all of a sudden you start to get excited about that potential, you know, and they, in your mind, you've handed the card to the next Deb Bellarice, and all of a sudden there's excitement and now a willingness to go talk to somebody else. And all of a sudden you get some rhythm and some momentum and some things going, and good things happen from that. It's just incredible how many stories we hear like that. And so I guess the encouragement for everybody on the call would be to, you know, to do just that, create some action, right?
Yeah, once you get the action going, like, for example, I always find this fascinating. You get going with something, and it works,
right.
And then you quit doing it because you hear somebody else on another fast-track call saying they're doing this or they're doing that. You know, just because you hear it and it's a great idea doesn't mean you have to do it and implement it.
Yeah.
You've got it, because you're only, you know, in my business anyway, I'm only one. My husband owns his own business. He's busy with his own thing.
Okay.
I'm only one person. So when I'm listening to someone that's a couple, they can do a heck of a lot more than I can. And I start, and I've done this, I start feeling like, oh, my gosh, I can't do all this. There's only one me. And I don't know. It's such a bad thought process. Mm-hmm. I've got to know what works for me. I've got to stay on the straight and narrow, keep going forward. Let that, you know, enjoy the journey as I'm going along and keep doing those meetings. Okay, so I will admit I did meetings for a while. Then I stopped doing meetings because people weren't coming. Imagine that. I probably quit inviting them. But whatever. I quit doing it, but I'm doing meetings again. And you know what? It goes back to that fun part of the Shackley business. It's the social aspect of it, Pat.
Mm-hmm.
It's the having people in my home every Wednesday night for a meeting. It's fun. And, you know, when you say, come at 7, we'll start at 7:30, we'll end at 8:30, and you're saying goodbye to the last one as they walk out the door at 11 o'clock,
right. That
was a powerful meeting. And more than the meeting itself was the relationships and the social stuff that happened when everyone was together.
Right. No doubt about it. And I love the social aspect of our business. And as long as people keep the perspective that this is a, you know, that there is social benefits to the business of Shackley, okay, as opposed to saying, you know, there's business benefits to my social life. Because here's the reality, Deb, and one of the things that I see people fall in a little bit of a trap in that is that they will, you know, tongue-in-cheek have told people that our business is, in fact, a business. If you want something that's social, go join a bowling league, okay?
Okay, yeah.
Now, tongue-in-cheek. What happens is that I try to make the distinction between the being a social gathering and a business gathering with incredible social benefits. And that's what you're meaning by this. We had talked about it in the past and a number of times, and I really love the great mixture that so many great leaders in our business have created over the years. Gary certainly is one of the highlights and has, you know, transitioned that to you and many, many others. And that is the ability to say, hey, this is a business, but it's a fun business. It's a social business. We can all get together, enjoy each other. I know for me, my closest friends have been developed because of this business. That's just one of the great benefits of it, aside from, you know, earning a living and doing the things that we have like to do with the freedom and stuff. But make sure, especially, you know, certain types of people like to be a part of the group just to be a part of the group. And what we'd like to do with those people is to say, listen, make sure that as long as you're here, we'd love to have you be a part of the group. Make sure that you're making some money and making some progress too. You know, because that's really, that ultimately at the end of the day, that's what we want to have the combination of here.
When I tell my group, don't be a professional meeting goer.
There you go. That's a better. That's probably a nicer way than to say join a bowling league. So
yeah, I say now, if you have an opportunity on a Wednesday night to do an in-home in someone's home, that takes priority over showing up here.
Sure.
And if you can come here to my home for our regular scheduled meeting and bring someone, you are going to have so much more fun than coming by yourself.
Exactly.
You know, and the other thing to this, I mentioned that about two people working in business versus one.
Uh-huh.
Here's one other thing I think that's really important. You got to realize that people look at you from afar. They scrutinize what you do. And you have to make it look like what you do, number one, is fun and that they want to do what you do. Because if they see you working 80 hours a week, you're stressed out. You don't walk your talk, you have poor nutrition, you've got a gray color because you're working the business too darn hard, nobody's going to want to join you. It's kind of like you're bouncing a ball and you're showing, look, I'm bouncing this ball, it's really a lot of fun, do you want to bounce with me? And they want to take it over, they want to join you in the fun.
Right.
That's the difference.
Right. It's sort of like a duck on water. You know, you look on the top and you see how graceful they are and how smooth it is and all that stuff, but you look under the water and their legs are kicking like crazy.
They are.
And so that's sort of how we've got to appear in our business. And then we've got to, you know, we've got to work hard. We've got to do all that stuff. But there also has to be a little bit of an image factor. And here's the reality. Many people get into our business for many different reasons. And to make sure that as you climb the ladder of success in Shaklee, that you, in fact, enjoy those reasons and be able to, you know, meet the opportunities that, hey, I wanted more time with my kids. Well, great. Take more time with your kids. You know, do those types of things. And it gives you the ability to do that. Now, I would be remiss if I don't try to bring this back to, let's see if we can bring it back to that first 90 days in someone's, you know, new, they're fired up, they're excited, fast track, they've grabbed onto that. They want to go out and grab some of the money and things. They want to talk to some people. You know, from the first 90 days of activity, let's talk in ending our call here today, keeping this area, this first 90 days, real in not only their expectations, but their need to work, their need to, you know, just keep everything in perspective, especially early on in the business.
Well, yeah, because, you know, in that first 90 days, that moment you sponsor, that power of 10 is in there.
Right.
So there has to be an urgency. You have to help those people find an urgency, number one, I think is important. You got to kind of strategize and figure out what it is that you want to accomplish. And in that first 90 days, definitely the very first step a director, and if you can do it sooner, all the better. Right. But how are you going to do that? Go back, and then, you know, do you hear this all the time, I don't want to contact my friends and family?
Yep.
Yeah. You know what? You don't have to.
Right.
You really don't. You know what? Then go out and let's talk to some acquaintances that you know, because all you really do is need four or five people and ask them who they know. Because when I look at my group, a lot of the people that are successful in it, I didn't know them. Someone else introduced them to me. Yeah. So if you have to approach your family, say, look, you're probably not interested. I get it. I know it. But who do you know that's looking for a job that just lost their job as a teacher that's, you know, and be a little bit more specific. Now, who do you know in the whole wide world, but I'm looking for this type of person. So I think that's a good thing to do the first 90 days.
Yes.
Schedule and then get, you know, like if you become a Tupperware lady, the very first thing they tell, or man, there can be Tupperware men.
Mm-hmm.
No, not gender related. You can, they'll say, in the first 6 weeks, we want you to schedule 6 meetings, 6 in-homes, they call them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't you think it's fair that somebody that says yes holds up their hand, kisses, they're leaning forward and say they want to get started?
Exactly.
I think we owe it to them that we're going to get in their homes and do some meetings.
Yeah.
I think that's another really good thing to do, get in their homes and do it, and with the ultimate goal of them doing them as
well.
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, any way that, and that's one of the, you know, that's one of the lines in the water that you put out there to say, hey, this is one of the aspects of being able to share Shaklee with as many people as possible, structure it through some of the people that you know you can funnel through there and get into those types of things. It's a great way to get started. I mean, that just is a real good fundamental way, especially if you have the ability to work with a sponsor. And you can do that. I've done a number of in-homes in different states where they just set up a speakerphone for me, and I've been able to share my story with people and say, guys, this is what we're doing, this is what we're looking for, and this is where we believe we're going.
And with the tools that Shaklee has, for example, that Opportunity DVD.
Exactly.
You just put it in the person in the home's DVD and press play.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we've got all the tools that we need to be able to do it either remotely. You know, the other thing, too, is you can do webinars for your people that are remote as well.
Yeah, do a bunch of those. Do a bunch of those. And you know what's cool about it is that you, over this first 90 days of time frame, I want you to go out there and when I get a new person, I want to say, hey, let's go try this stuff. Okay, Pat, well, you did a web conference, and that's how I got it. Okay, great. Should we do web conferences? Sure. Well, should I schedule a home meeting? Absolutely. You know, should I send them a letter? Yes. I mean, yes, anything. We have got to, you know, we've got to advertise ourselves as the ability that we, you know, that people have the chance and ability to do business with us.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to let people know about it. You know, we got to put the, I always go back to a fishing analogy where we got to put the lines in the water. You know, and what will happen is it will naturally gravitate. I mean, this is about as real as it gets. You can say you want to do everything on a web conference, but if your group doesn't, if the only thing your group really wants to do is spread you around to home meetings, that's about what you need to do, right? You just sort of go with what's working for you, and as it's working for you, keep doing that. And in that first 90 days, get as much out there as you can, then you have a chance to be able to adjust and relook and focus and change things up a little bit. But the end of the day, I mean, here's the real struggle. It's very simple. You're handed a deck of cards face down. You have to flip them over.
Mm-hmm.
You have to find out. And it's not whether you want the next one to be an ace or not, or whether you tell the next one they're going to be an ace or not, or you pray about it, or you do, it doesn't matter. All that really matters is that you flip it over to find out if it is an ace. If it is, you win. And if it's not, then, you know, my suggestion is to just flip another one.
On to the next one.
Right.
And that's why I brought up the deck of cards, because knowing that there are four aces in there. And you know what's interesting, Pat, is in the actual statistics of Shackley, it pretty much runs exactly the way a deck of cards does with the 52 people. That's about how many do come up in the old statistics, which is interesting. But you got to remember, there's more in that deck of cards, and you got to just go after it.
Yeah. Very cool.
And I use the people. All right, so let's say I get 20 people, you know, having a goal, 20 families using 100 points of product a month, hopefully put it on auto ship, which is even better. Now I'm a director, and I've got 20 people that I could perhaps talk to them and see if they will, A, have an event in their home, B, maybe they could just introduce me to someone that they know.
Right.
So in other words, it's not everyone that you know, it's getting down, which is exactly what social marketing is. It's your Facebook. It's people who know people.
Yeah.
What was that thing with Kevin Bacon? The six,
yeah,
six degrees of separation
degrees
is
of separation.
Kevin Bacon,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yep.
He'd always end up, somehow a movie would always end up with Kevin Bacon in it. Well, it's the same thing with this.
I could not agree more. Very cool stuff. All right, here's our chance to wrap it up. I'm going to give you the last say to the many new people that would call in and listen to this. Just a word of encouragement maybe from you to say, you know, here's a couple of thoughts according to Deb. What would you put out there as far as maybe an action step would be?
Go out and talk to the people. Talk to lots of people.
Mm-hmm.
Come up with so that you've got at least five programs, reaching out methods that you're working on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
So that maybe if you've got a postcard program, maybe you've got a leads organization you belong to. You know, come up with five good ones that work for you and keep on working them, always looking for a new person. Does that help?
That really helps, Deb. And as always, it was a pleasure chatting with you. And thank you for giving your expertise to the many, many people that called in and listened. So thanks again, and continued success with Shackley. It's always a lot of fun to see good things happen to good people. So thanks a bunch.
Thanks for being such an inspiration to the field, Pat. You're a great addition, and we're so glad to have you. Love your humor, love your ability to communicate all those great things, and have fun in the same time. So
thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I appreciate that. All right, everybody, that's about it for Deb and I this week. I want to thank you for your time and your willingness to listen in on the call. We do this again every Monday night. And join us next week. We have another great speaker with another great topic. You will not want to miss it. And just think of all the possibilities that are out in front of you and have a lot of fun and just see what happens. Go plant some seeds. You just never know who the next person you talk to might be. It might be somebody as dynamic and as wonderful as Deb. So thanks again for your time, effort, and energy to be here. Until next time, make it a great Shackley week. See ya.
The average annual income in 2008 for the business leader ranks ranged from $10,798 for directors to $580,573 for presidential master coordinators. Average annual income by rank is based on the average monthly form 1099-MISC. Income for all U.S. business leaders who held the rank that month and added for the 12 months of 2008. The Fast Track career path is new, and so there are no average earnings for this additional income. Of course, results will vary with effort, and Shackley Corporation does not guarantee that any particular income will be achieved.